As we prepare to remember our Lord Jesus in the Lord's Supper, I'm just reminded in John 16 that Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit, says he will guide us into all truth, but then also he shared that he will not speak of himself. He shall glorify me. And the job of the Holy Spirit of God is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I desire that he would, as we look at Scripture, as we be reminded of our Lord Jesus, from the beginning we don't know. There's so much we don't know. We know what God has shared in his word, and on into when we'll worship him in his presence for what he's done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has come to honor you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, use the Holy Spirit in a special way in our lives to honor Jesus Christ, to help us comprehend his care for us, his love for us, his gift of salvation for us. And we thank you, Father, for that kind of love that offered your Son. So I just ask that your guidance as we share from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians 2, Paul is encouraging us to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, and he came and he died for us. He bore the penalty for our sin. And God the Father highly exalted him, and he will be honored forever in heaven with those he's been redeemed and with the glory of the angels and the presence of God. I want to consider for a minute what he left. In John 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is, throughout Scripture, that he is given the honor of the creation. I share just a moment from Colossians chapter 1, where honor is given to him. In verse 14, I share a couple verses here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, that are visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So it's very clear that our Lord Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. In Ephesians 1, where we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Those that, as we see in Romans 8, that God foreknew would come to him. He chose us to be in him. So he has been here before. I was looking at the passage again with Hagar. If you remember that they came up with this idea that they're not having a child. Take the handmaid, and then when she had a child, she was despised of Sarai and cast out. And the angel of the Lord met her in her grief and spoke to her and told her what he was going to do with her seed, Ishmael, and he would be a huge nation. And he said, go back and submit yourself. to her. at that point, Hagar said, concerning who talked to her, "Thou, God, seest me." He met me in my need, and so I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was in a number of cases in the Old Testament that he was here with us before. As I've shared out of Joshua at near Jericho, he was met by the angel of the Lord and the captain of the host of the Lord. He said, "As captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And really, Joshua asked, "Whose side are you on?" Said, "I'm here to take over." And then we know at some point he took on flesh. Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons." I come to Genesis 3:15. I kind of think really John 3:16 is embodied there. "As a serpent came and beguiled Eve and got her to sin, and then she gave to her husband, hence today we have inherited sin all down the line." But I think sometimes the heart of our Lord Jesus in glory, as the Father tells his plan to the serpent, "The seed of woman is going to bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but it's going to bruise his head." The seed of woman was the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine in the Godhead what the cost is going to be to rescue us. And so he took on flesh, Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time was come," and I had already read that. But in the counsel of God, he's not only going to end up destroying the serpent and his kingdom, but he's going to rescue us, which I'm not sure that the enemy knew that what the amazing thing would be done by him coming in the flesh and dying for us. To take on flesh in a virgin's womb and experience living in the flesh, can only imagine a new perspective that he's going to see what it's like for mankind. He comes to not only show us how to live, but to face temptation and show us how to overcome temptation, ultimately to give his life for us. But there was a vulnerability. He came in a body like we have. He did not inherit the sinful nature, rather came by the Holy Spirit. But even in the childhood, God told his parents, "Flee to Egypt. The kings will try to destroy him." And so he needed the care of human parents. He knew what it was to live at all ages up to 33. He knows what kids go through, what kids have to face. amazing plan that God had. And then in Revelation 1, as shared in the bulletin, he shared with John, "I am he that liveth and was dead." It's amazing, the eternal Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was to in the flesh die. He, there at Calvary, gave his life for us. In Isaiah that Wayne shared with us, just a couple things that I wanted to share out of that. Isaiah, prophesying his coming, points out he'll be very ordinary. he says in verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. When we see him, he has no beauty that we should desire him." The amazing mind of God that he would come so ordinary. You just know he was ordinary because Judas had to point him out. You'd have thought he stood out, but he was very common. He came that way. Not very common in how he lived, but common in how he looked. He goes on to say he's despised, he's rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Very ordinary the way he came. In John 1 again, in verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's only the attitude of God to come in such a way that you're not going to force people to know I made this world. I created it. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. I tell you, verse 12, I praise God for it. "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'm so thankful that somehow when the gospel came to me, that I recognized who he was, that I received him as he is. But imagine from Jesus' perspective, I made this world, the beauty of it. The world didn't know him, came to his own, and they didn't receive him. But he came, and he had a period of time when the Spirit of God was on him, of doing the ministry that we read in Luke 4, that he read Isaiah 61. What an amazing time there as he came home and went to church and read it, and then read the things, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the gospel, it's upon me to heal brokenhearted, to set captives free, to open blind eyes, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And I suppose they thought, we've heard that scripture a lot of time, but then for Jesus to say, "This day it's fulfilled in your ears," that was hard for them to take in. He'd grown up in their midst, but he was here, and he did that, and he passed that ministry on to his own as he returned to glory. He came to die. I suspect the enemy didn't know what would be accomplished as he stood against him and tried to destroy him. We read in Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all." And that awful moment when he declared, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you just have to know, as our sin was laid on him, it was being paid for by him. It broke fellowship at that point. What an awful, awful moment. What a wonderful moment for us. Because he was carrying our sin. He was carrying my penalty. He was taking my hell there at that time. He, in John 19, verse 30, says, "It is finished." The great veil in the temple that separated us from the Holy of Holies was open to God. And I love Hebrews chapter 10. The writer says, "And every priest daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins." You read through the Old Testament, it's all this sacrificial system. It's all pointing to this moment. all pointing to this moment when God the Son would be a sacrifice. And hear him. He says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. One sacrifice for sins forever. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It was taken care of at the cross. We read over and over again, there is nothing we can do to purchase our salvation, to earn our salvation. It was done. It was done there at the cross. Praise God for that. And we remember that sacrifice in the Lord's Supper this morning, that he came and did what we could not do to make ourselves right with God. And of course, he rose from the dead. But I just want to pick up also from Philippians 2 that said that he would be honored of the Father. And I really need to just read that for us, a couple verses there. Then I meant Philippians 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, God the Father. Just trying to, in what he has presented, to see that before his coming in flesh, he is ministering, he was creating, created all things, he was honored, and at the Father's plan, he laid that aside so that he could redeem us. God wanted to have a family. He created a family, and it fell. He also created Lucifer, and he fell. And God has honored the decisions, but he is going to pay for it. Dearly beloved, he's going to pay for it. God highly exalted him. And what I want to close with is a reminder of what he will be in time to come. And I just share a couple verses from Revelation chapter 5. This throng in heaven, and in that, the Lamb of God. Here he comes. He has a glorified human body throughout the eternities, because he had to be in that body to die and pay for our penalty. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So may God move in our hearts to understand the cost to God, the plan of God, that he would redeem a people lost in sin to be his children, to make them more like Christ at his coming to be like him. We are now becoming more and more like him, living more and more like we should by the power of God's Spirit. But then, throughout the eternities, his family, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we, this morning, want to remember that. Father, I just want to thank you. I've tried somewhat to get us in touch with our Savior throughout the ages of time, coming out of eternity, worshipped of angels, creating, and then ultimately being willing to come in human flesh and pay the price, but honored above all things by the Father. And we will praise you then, Lord Jesus, but we want to praise you now. And we just ask, as we remember what you paid for us, that you deepen our love and our affection for you, Lord Jesus, I pray in your name. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.